It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, how can we make sure those healthy-looking plants we bring home from the store don't turn into sad, lifeless eggplants in your home? A plant expert tells us how to create some indoor green space. First, do you have a $1 million idea for a new business? No? Ever thought of quitting your day-to-day job and turning a passion into a livelihood? Not every entrepreneur hits it big, but there are more than 30 million small businesses in the United States right now. And this group, our guest says, is leading a major shifting of gears in America's economic engine. In his new book, economics writer Adam Davidson digs into the new look of entrepreneurship, not in places like Silicon Valley, but in all walks of life. Adam is the co-founder of NPR's Planet Money podcast. He writes for The New Yorker, and his new book is The Passion Economy, The New Rules for Thriving in the 21st Century. Adam, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, when we hear about the economic transition we're in, Adam, a lot of times it's the bad news, the factories that are closed down, the people out of work, and that's a real part of the story. But you are finding bright spots out there that could be a lesson for the rest of us. What kind of things are you hunting for in this book?
Sure, and I do want to say at first that I don't discount right. all the bad. In fact, the bulk of my work at NPR's Planet Money, at The New Yorker, at the New York Times Magazine, has been covering some of the worst things about our economy, certainly the financial crisis, rising inequality, wage stagnation. These are bad, bad things that are very serious. But in that reporting, I would come across these bright spots, these interesting counter examples in which regular people are succeeding, not the 1% we hear so much about, not Silicon Valley billionaires or Wall Street titans, but regular folks in regular communities making very good but decent livings, not becoming wildly rich, applying some new rules. And it took a long time, but I eventually came to the conclusion that these are two sides of the same story, that we're in the middle of a massive shift in how our economy works. And like any massive shift, there are good things and bad things, and that understanding the logic of the new economy can free people to do some things that they probably couldn't have done in the 20th century in a very different mass production economy.
And you're talking about what you call the passion economy. And, you know, we've heard the advice to young people, follow your passion in the workplace or don't follow your passion. You're talking about something a little different, I think. Can you explain what you mean by the passion economy?
Sure. I define passion in the book as some set of things that you are uniquely able to do. This can be making a particular product, but could also just be sort of an approach to how to do work. So, you know, I think of myself. I was a reporter. I love explaining economic concepts to a broad lay audience. And so those are two different things, storytelling and economics. And I was able to put those together and develop a career. So it's not a lot of people assume I mean, oh, you're talking about crafting on Etsy or something. I mean, that can be, although I don't think that's always the best example. In the book, I have folks who do big industrial businesses, people work in agriculture, people who figure out a new way to be an accountant or a new way to be a lawyer. There's lots and lots of ways of finding your unique place in the economy and finding those people who most crave whatever it is you have to offer, as opposed to the 20th century, which was really mostly about being the same, copying what you are supposed to be doing, what your boss tells you, what your teachers tell you. I think sameness is over as a safe strategy in succeeding in this economy.
Talking to Adam Davidson about his new book, The Passion Economy, The New Rules for Thriving in the 21st Century. Adam, as you mentioned, you talk to individual people who make their own business, but I want to start with a story you have of an old school business that turned itself into something new, and I love it because it's a pencil company, and pencils are often used as that economic example of how capitalism helps us make products. Walk us through the story of a pencil company that made a big switch in the 21st century.
Yeah, this is about General Pencil, which is in New Jersey, in Jersey City. And it was probably the first company where I really was like, huh, I think there's something going on here. This is pretty interesting. So General Pencil, very old company, started in the original incarnation in the 1860s, still in the original family, the Weissenborn family. And mostly what they did is made sort of standard pencils, number two pencils, for the most part, for public schools in New Jersey and other states. And that was a really good way to make a living for pretty much the entire 20th century. They just, you know, there were more kids every year. They got bigger orders every year. They shipped those orders and that was that. And then a very familiar story, a story we've heard a million times. Chinese manufacturers started making pencils wildly cheaper, selling a gross of pencils, you know, 144 pencils for the price that General was charging for a dozen pencils. And at first they were able to hold on to some business because they had good long-term relationships with the local public schools. But over time, the public schools are like, look, we can't pay 12 times as much for your pencils. We're getting the cheap stuff from China. And they were pretty close to going out of business. Jim Weissenborn, who owned the company at the time, just all but gave up. And actually, it was his daughter, Katie, who said she would never be caught dead working in the pencil business, who came up with the insight that saved the company. She likes to sketch. She teaches classes. And she was in a store looking to buy some pencils for a drawing class. And she saw that there were very cheap number two pencils, and there were like $2 really fancy pencils for professional artists. But there's this huge space of like 80 to 90 cents, $1, $1.10 for a really good drawing pencil, but not a crazy expensive drawing pencil. And she thought, that's a space, sort of the high end of the low end or the low end of the high end. And that saved the company. They were able to create pencils and eventually pencil drawing kits where you'd get a bunch of pencils and some instructions on how to draw, sort of a perfect kid's birthday gift. But what they did is they're thriving now. They're doing wonderfully well. And what they did is so many of the lessons of what I think are in this economy. The old model, the 20th century model, is all about market share, volume, sell as many as you can to as many people as you can. And the new model is about focusing on, all right, what's our unique offering? You know, what do you do when you're the owner of a pencil company who loves drawing but isn't a fancy professional drawer? Well, she found something that she was uniquely able to create, and she was able to find that, yeah, there's a lot of people who wanted that thing. Maybe didn't even realize they wanted that thing until they went to a stationery store and saw a General pencil kit sitting there. But that is the lesson, I think. Don't do what people like you. Oh, I'm a lawyer, I'm going to do the things lawyers do. Or I'm a mechanic, I'm going to do the things that mechanics do. Do the thing only you can do that no one else is going to do. Although the key is then find the market, find the people who will actually pay you money for that
thing. Yeah, take that number two pencil now and connect those dots. How do we go from that unique talent and maybe passion that we have to then find where it's needed out there?
Yeah, and this is, I mean, I happen to have grown up in the art world. My dad's an actor and my mom runs dance companies. And I've known a lot of artists who follow their passion to create art, but don't make money at it. And that's a, you know, if you know, and struggle. People, I grew up with a lot of people who really didn't make a lot of money, but thrived emotionally, psychologically. They enjoyed doing their work. And that's a perfectly legitimate choice. But if you want to actually make a decent living, then there's the second step. It's not enough just to figure out what you love. The second step is, who in the world also values this thing that I create? And that's where I actually think there's really good news, that there's a lot of tools today, from just Google to far more advanced technologies and trade, that allow us to find those people, even if they're spread all over the globe, who most want the thing we want to give them.
We're talking to Adam Davidson, economics and business writer for The New Yorker, co-founder of NPR's Planet Money podcast, and himself an entrepreneur. We're talking about his new book. It's called The Passion Economy, about turning our special interests, abilities, and talents into a viable livelihood. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you left your day job to start a business based on a unique interest or skill that you have? How did it go? How is it going? Or have you helped reinvent an older business for the 21st century? Are you a small business person? What do you think of what you're hearing from Adam? Have you reinvented the way you do things, maybe breaking the mold and found success, or still trying to find that success? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our talk with Adam Davidson of The New Yorker. His new book is called The Passion Economy. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for our guest about how people can find a livelihood through something that they are passionate about? Do you have a story of starting a business, helping run a business, maybe reinventing it for changing times in the 21st century? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go to your calls now. Rita is with us in Spooner. Rita, hi. Rita, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, go ahead, Rita.
I just wanted to make a comment to enforce the General Pencil Company. that they've expanded into areas where I'm a quilter and I use the General pencils for quilting. I use the charcoal pencils, the white ones and the light gray ones, and even some of the darker ones, because they wash out very easily from the fabric.
Well, and I want to find out, Rita, how did you discover these pencils that were going to be perfect for your quilting, just to see how this extended out from what Adam was talking about?
Well, my daughter was an artist, and I went to an art store to look for these General pencils, and then I found, because I was buying the darker ones for her to do her chalk pencils or her charcoal pencils, but then I found the lighter ones and the white ones, and I've been using them for at least 10 years, and they're awesome.
And I should ask, Rita, do you sell quilts? Or are you quilting as a hobby, a business, somewhere in between?
Quilting is a hobby. I don't think I would do it for a living, because I just enjoy it myself.
Fantastic. Rita, thank you so much. Adam, there's another end to your pencil story.
No, that's awesome. I love that. And I feel like I got to call Katie, who owns the company, and say, do you know about this quilting thing? You should market that.
That's fantastic.
I did want to mention quickly that, you know, the ideas of the book, I think, also do apply for people who have a job at a company.
Right.
It's not, you know, because there are ways of doing a job. And I think increasingly employers want this, reward this, that are new, that are different, that are unique. I do tend to profile entrepreneurs. Honestly, it's easier to write about them. It's kind of fun to write about them. But I think the lessons apply more broadly. And then, sorry, just the last thing I wanted to amplify is I do like the idea that some people, their deepest passion, they don't want to make a business. You know, I love photography. I take a lot of pictures. I don't want to make a business out of it. It's just fun for me. And that's a totally great way to be about some of your passions.
Rita, thanks so much for the call. We'll go to Mindy now in Lake Geneva. Mindy, hello.
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
What did you want to tell us about, Mindy?
Well, I left my day job to become a coach for female entrepreneurs to help them make more money. And I do that full time now.
And how did you make that transition? How did you make that leap?
Well, I got a couple clients first while I was still in my day job, and then just decided I was going to leap and the net would appear, and left in last summer, and just have been building the business from there.
Mindy, thank you so much for sharing that story. Adam, that reminds me of one of the stories you tell in your book about an accountant who kept being an accountant, but he kind of reinvented for himself what it meant to do that job. Can you share that story with us?
Yeah, absolutely. And I love hearing the story of someone being a mentor to
yeah.
women entrepreneurs. Jason Blummer, it's a story about Jason Blummer, an accountant in the Greenville area in South Carolina, who it sounds not unlike the previous caller, had a real desire to help people, to help people figure out how to transition into this very challenging economy. But he was an accountant, so what he spent his days doing was stuff that he himself found unbelievably boring, filing tax returns and audits and payroll, and he hated it. And he also felt like his customers didn't particularly love what he did. Who wants to do their taxes? Who says, boy, I would love 3 hours of an accountant's time? And so he just started asking, what would it be like if my customers loved me? What would it be like if people were delighted by the services I provide? And that was really how he started, a very simple but vague question, not one you would necessarily think would lead to a successful business. And it took him a long time to figure it out. But he eventually learned that there's a bunch of creative professionals out there, graphic designers, ad agencies, who are very good at being creative, don't understand business. And he happens to have a real strength at talking to those folks, helping them understand how to turn their passions, their creative passions, into a business. So he's become an accountant who's really more of like a tour guide to the new economy. He certainly helped me understand it a lot. In fact, I've hired him. He's now my accountant. And so so that would be an example of how, you know, he's somebody, like sometimes I get afraid that people think, oh, but I don't know what my passion is. That, you know, that first caller loves quilting or Adam loves photography. How do I know what my passion is? Most of us don't. It takes a while. It can take years to refine it, to figure it out. Sometimes it starts with just a niggling sense of disappointment and frustration with your current job. And you know, that I would say double down on it. Learn, you know, figure out what is it? Where does that come from? What can I do to, you know, what is my heart telling me, if I could say it? But then how do I make that into a business?
Thanks a lot for that call, Mindy, at 800-642-1234. Adam Davidson is with us from NPR's Planet Money. His new book is called The Passion Economy, The New Rules for Thriving in the 21st Century. Back to your calls. Tony is with us now in Glidden. Tony, hello.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to say that Adam is spot on with everything he's saying. Within the last 4 years, I stopped a career as a law enforcement officer after serving for over 9 years and started a business for myself to try and work for myself eventually. And everything he says is on. You have to put on all these different hats. You have to be an accountant. You have to be a maintenance man. You have to be everything. So you have to think about these things. Also, the customer service aspect is my biggest motto. And I found that just like Adam, becoming friendly with individuals is beneficial because they own businesses too, some of them, and they in turn help you out. You get return customers, you get your name out there. So I think I'm interested in looking into buying his book.
Tony, thanks a lot for that call. Adam, your thoughts on what Tony had to say about his business experience so far?
Yeah, no, I loved everything he said, and especially the part about buying my book, obviously. But I think that would be a perfect example of, you know, here's Tony in a job. You know, you don't think of law enforcement as, oh, that's an obvious the basis for an entrepreneurial career. But it sounds like he really paid close attention to the strengths he had, the ability to engage people, to develop that customer service mentality, and then apply it in a totally different way. And I think that is exactly what I love to hear and what many of the people in the book report. Sometimes the passion really is not about a particular product. I just told the story about Jason Blummer. Frankly, I bet he would have been a lot happier if he never was an accountant and he was doing the same kind of work, but in a different way. But his passion, like Tony's passion, was engaging with people and that was the passion. And it probably could have been applied in a whole host of different professions. So the passion doesn't necessarily mean, oh, I happen to love whatever it is, you know, quilting. It can be, I love being a leader of a team, or I love engaging people in a strong customer service way. You know, that there's lots of passions.
Thanks a lot for the call, Tony. Adam, I want to circle back to something you mentioned earlier, that this isn't just a philosophy for entrepreneurs, new startup businesses, but maybe established places. How can workplaces change to feed the passions of workers and make sure they don't want to go out and strike off their own because they're so frustrated?
Yeah, and there are a lot of companies that are getting this message, that are adjusting, and sadly a lot of companies that are not. And I think, you know, certainly if these are consumer facing companies, you know, the second you walk in, I mean, I don't want to beat up on any business, but when you walk in a Walmart, you know that this is not a place where the employees feel passion. But you walk into a Costco, a very similar type of business, and you can tell in a moment that the people here have more engagement. They feel more themselves here. Now, that doesn't mean they all have a passion for big box retailing, but they might have a passion for customer service. They might have a passion for organization. They might have all sorts of passions that Costco allows them by not having, you know, having rules, but not having such strict rules that nobody's able that people aren't able to express themselves. And I think what a lot of literature out there, academic literature and others, shows that one of the surest ways to improve sales, to improve productivity, is engaging your customers. We're already working people as much as we can, as many hours as we can. The extra oomph is when they're engaged. And the only way to get them engaged is connect to their passions.
It's a good place to leave it. Adam, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Really wonderful. Thank you so much.
That's Adam Davidson. He writes for The New Yorker, covering economics and business. He co-founded the NPR podcast Planet Money. He's CEO of a podcast production company. We talked to him today, though, about his new book. It's called The Passion Economy, The New Rules for Thriving in the 21st Century. There is still time for you to share your story if you've done some of the things that Adam is talking about, if you have started up your own business, or you're at a workplace that you feel does a good job of letting their workers be passionate about what they do. Share your story over at the Ideas Network Facebook page or tweet us at Central Time WPR.